Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Okay. Isn't it good just to be in the presence of God? Sometimes we come into church and it's our routine, you know? I could tell you the routine because I sit through a lot of services, but I won't go there. And sometimes it's nice to just not be in our routine and get just into the Word of God. Because, guys, this is what will keep you together when things aren't together. Because, you know, things aren't together. How many of you have it all together today? I'd love to meet you. I'd love to know exactly how you do it. Because when we get a glimpse of heaven, we realize that we have a really amazing God. And we have a really amazing future. And those things that seem to darken our day really are just distractions from the sun that wants to shine through, those rays that are trying to break through in our hearts and our lives. And so today, I believe God has some rays of sunshine for us. Okay, so today, get ready for some rays of sunshine, because when you break it off, when you believe God for impossible things, because I know that we are in, those are lights, and I saw all of your faces go. That was a ray of sunshine. You missed it. When we trust God with the things that seem totally impossible, do you have some impossible things in your life right now? I do. I have a whole bunch of impossible things. Things I look at and I go, I have no idea. But you know what? That's where I just got to go, but God. Right? So today's a but God day. And did you know that God has a gift for you? Thank you. How many times do you get a gift and you don't say thank you? But I feel like God wants to give us a gift. When life is confusing and heavy, maybe some of you are living in happiness right now. Honestly, hallelujah. Dance for joy. Like, praise the Lord, because we go through seasons. Not every season is the same. And it won't always be like this. Isn't that great? I love in Ecclesiastes where it says there's a season, there's a time for mourning and a season for crying, a season for brokenness, and a season for rejoicing, a season, all of these seasons. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank God this is a season. We're going to get through seasons, right? But in the seasons is where the fight is. In the seasons is where the confusion lies. In the seasons is where, what do I do with this season? And all of us have been given a gift of life today. Are you breathing today? Maybe you're going, I'm not breathing so well, Pastor Jess. Well, in Jesus' name, you're healed. But you're breathing and you're here and you made it today. I just want you girls to give yourself a hand really quick. Give yourself a hand. You made it. It's like a big deal, okay? But we have someone in every season who never leaves us, never forsakes us, who always wants to comfort us, who always is with us in the broken places, who's always with us in, listen, I know this word very well, transitions. Right? I hear a, oh. How many of us are in some type of a transition in life? Every person probably, right? Because as I get older, I realize these transitions are coming a little faster. Probably faster even after this, girls, for the older women, yes? Or maybe slower, I don't know. I don't know what to expect in my future, but what I do know is that every day seems like a new transition, and it's like, okay, I'm now with a teenager, and oh my gosh, she's driving me crazy. And, you know, then we have all these things happening here, and then we have all these things happening, you know, in life and bills, and all of it's a transition. But God says, I'm in it, girls. I'm in it with you. Don't forget me. Because of this verse, I'm going to read it. Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children. Have you ever met someone who just knows how to give the best gifts? And you're like, I'm a really bad gift giver. Like, my best friend over here, she's the best gift giver in the world, and I'm the worst gift giver in the world. I notice every gift I give people, they don't ever wear it, or they don't ever use it. So honestly, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get gift cards from now on, because obviously, I don't have the in on this. So, but God is always he's a good gift giver. Crazy, right? So if the world is good at those things, think about, I love this verse, how much more your heavenly Father gives good gifts to those who ask him. Girls, the best gift that we've ever received is right out of Ephesians 2, 8, 10 through 12. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that you are not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, not because of them, girls, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That means it was already preordained for us to walk in this amazing gift that he's given us. Is that good news? I love the New Living Translation, the way it says it. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. Listen, you can't boast on this yourself. This is not your doing. It's all his doing. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done. You cannot earn this on your own. And I'm like, amen, thank you, Jesus, because hot mess right here, hot mess. You know, and I really needed God. And I'm thankful that he gave it all for me. So none of you can boast about it. For verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. So that old you, that person that just didn't do things right, the person that just messed around and just didn't give God everything, you know, the one that wasn't ready to go into the deep a little earlier, because I really wasn't ready to go into the deep right now, that person is gone. Because let me tell you, you're anew in Christ today. He died on that cross so you can be completely restored. So you could be a new creation in Christ Jesus. I think we forget this. I do. I don't know about you. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's a big statement right now. That we should walk in them. That we should carry it out. That we should go there. Because sometimes we don't go there. I know I don't go there. I know that there's times when my kids, I'm like, come on, you know how to do this. Why are you not doing this? And I feel like I'm dragging them along. I wonder if God feels that way with us. Where I'm like, you know how to do this. Why do I have to do this for you? You know how to do this. God says, I've already preordained all of that. I've given you every good gift. But the best is life, salvation. Grace is charis. I actually know a beautiful woman who has a daughter named Charis. And it means joy, favor, and acceptance. A favor done without expectation of a return. Ooh. How many times do we give grace to each other? But yet God gave us grace for every day, in every moment, in every stupid thought we have, in every good thought we have, in every bad action we have, in every great action we have. God's grace is there, reaching out to us and saying, I've got you. Because you don't have you, but I have you. And I want you to know you feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. I've got you. I love that. And then it's, in faith, is petesis. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Petesis. Anyways, these Greek words. It says, it's a miraculous faith, a confidence in divine truths. I don't know about you, but I don't want to put my confidence in what men write on a blog or what people are saying on politics or what I'm hearing happen, you know, in our textbooks. Gosh, I'm reading about the things that they're getting ready to teach all of our children in our public schools, and I'm going, what? Yeah, Lord help us. That's right. These are things that we're dealing with and we're facing, and my kids were talking to me the other day, and they were saying, Mom, what was homeroom like for you? And I told them, I actually remember going to homeroom and praying. I do. Do you remember this? It was they called it PMS, but then they changed it to PVMS because PMS in a junior high school was not a good abbreviation for a year. So homeroom, we got into homeroom. And I remember it was my first year, you know, moving classrooms. And I was just like, this is amazing. I'm so cool. And we went to homeroom and we actually prayed. I remember, but it only lasted for like maybe a few weeks. And then there was this whole initiative that like take prayer out of schools. And that's when the prayer came out of schools and we never prayed again. And my kids were like, you prayed in public school? I'm like, we did. Like, I'm old enough to remember just a little bit of that. You see, things are moving so fast, guys. And so when I don't know what to put my confidence in because my confidence feels weak. I mean, me and my mom were talking yesterday about some issues in our world and dynamics and things. And I'm like, you can walk away from that conversation going, what do we do as Christians? Right? No, it's not bad. But you do, you walk away from the world's issues and you go, as a Christian, what do I do? And then I went home and I was studying and the Lord took me to some random verses and it was all about what we were talking about. And he was like, this is what I say about it and this is what you need to stand on. And I was like, oh yeah, duh, I know that. But sometimes the world will weaken us. And sometimes our confidence will get, well, you know, I don't want to push someone away and I got to be politically correct and I've got to, and God says, stop. You're a Christian. That means you stand firm because your salvation was given to you, not because it was earned. Your life was given to you, not because you deserved it, but because I love you so much that my grace is sufficient and that no matter where you've come from and no matter what the world is saying, don't let the world's ways sway you because life comes through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through any other direction. But if he's the life giver and if he's the one that holds our salvation in our hands and our eternity, then when these issues come, right, and you're the bad guy because people just know where you stand. What are you going to do? This is what you do. You go back to this verse. And you say, for by grace I have been saved through faith, not of myself. It is a gift from God. And you remind yourself, wait a second. I have to do this because this is who I am. This is what was given to me. This was a beautiful gift. And for me to walk away from who God is and what God has done for me and the grace that has been bestowed upon me is a shame. And sometimes we just need to tell each other, hey, knock it off. We know where we stand. And you're going to feel like, well, then am I not loving? Did God not love the world? That he gave his only begotten son for them? That did God not love you and me in our mess and in our sin? And hello, in our still mess and our still sin? And our still brokenness? And our still not knowing where we're going and what we're doing? Guys, those things are a place that God is with us in. Okay? And so when we get to that point, we have to hold our confidence in who he is and what he's done for us. His gift of salvation was given to you and me. Oh, I love that. By grace. Grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we cannot do it. That's really comforting because I am not good at a whole bunch of things. How about you? I have a sister-in-law. She is good at everything she does. Like, she paints and she makes masterpieces. Like, she starts businesses and they're great. She just gets bored with them and moves on to the next one because she's so good at it. And I'm just like, really? Like, I just think about it, and I'm like, nope, good. So, you know, you will never find your gifts and talents if you don't try something new. And God says that by grace, he's given all of this to us, life. So who are you in your salvation? What are your gifts? Michelle, what are your talents? And what is your new season in life? Come on. What do things have to adjust? Because I have been saved through grace, and yet my life is not over because I'm still breathing. Yeah. Or maybe you're going, my life hasn't even started yet because I just got out of sin and now I don't know where to go from here. Well, guess what? We'll help you along. Okay, you're not alone in this. Maybe you've been through this path and you're in the middle of this whole thing and you're going, is this normal? Because this is not fun, right? Or maybe you're going, life's really good right now because I actually do have a grasp on my salvation. And even though things are coming and going, I'm like, I'm good. God's got my back. Listen, girls, we need to be that cheerleader for each other. Look to the girl next to you and to the right and say, God's got your back. God's got your back. God's got your back. Because I was saved through grace. It's not because of what we've done. You cannot impress God. Can I say that? No work. Nothing you do is impressive to him. I mean, look at what he did. He created everything, right? Like, he created the earth. He created humanity. He created, like, so anything we do is not like, wow. But you know what you can do? You can please God. And that's a beautiful place to live. So because we've received the grace of God, I want to be a pleasing servant of God. I don't know about you, but I want him to look down and be like, I'm pleased with her. I love her. She did this well. Okay, so she didn't do this part so well, but she turned it around and she got herself back on track and went down the right current, right? See, that's what God wants for us. It's a gift of grace. His salvation was given to us through grace because we had faith to receive it. It takes some faith. It's not like it just happens because, you know, so many times my children like eating frozen waffles. I know, so weird. The other day we were like, why do you eat them frozen? And when did this start? Like, you're so lazy you can't get to a toaster and put it in the toaster, push a button. And they're like, actually, we like them cold. And I'm like, why? But I think sometimes God says to us, fine, have it your way. But it's not the best way. Because you could make that waffle, right, with some maple syrup and put some honey on top of that. Or you could put some strawberries and berries. And when I offer that to my children, do you know what they say? No, I'm good. I'm like, fine. And sometimes I wonder if God is saying, I have the waffle and I have the strawberries and the whipped cream for you, but you're okay with the frozen waffle. And God is going, I have so much more. My gift of salvation includes so much more. There's so much more. So today, if anything you get from today, remember, there's so much more. But faith is going to have to go out and grab that more. It's going to have to say, all right, I'm sick of being here. I want more. Have you ever been in that point where you're like, I just need more, God. More of you, all of you, none of me. I'm saying that a lot because that's pretty much my prayer every day. Like, none of me. All of you. And God says, reach out. Step out in faith. Believe me for the impossible. Those things that are coming against you, they're horrible. Yes, they are. But, and I want to say capital B-U-T, God knew they were going to come your way. He knew. I love the end of this verse where it says, good things he planned for us long ago. That means he knew all this junk was going to happen in the process of all those good things long ago. Right? So here we go. We got to grab it by faith. Through salvation, we receive it, we receive it by faith because of what we can, not by what we can do, but because he created us. When you're the one that creates something, you're the one that controls it. Right? When I cook dinner, I control that atmosphere. I'm like, okay, this is how it's going to work. You're going to, you know, set up your plate like this. Go ahead and do the kids, go set the table. Kids, you know, and I'm controlling that, but I'm the creator of that meal. But when my daughter cooks dinner, believe it or not, she does. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you get HelloFresh, they can do it. Okay. And when she cooks the meal, I literally am told the same thing by her. And it's so weird. Like, I sit down at the table. She's like, okay, Mom, so this is, put these toppings on it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she's like, and you get to clean the dishes. Because that's kind of our rule. If you cook, you don't have to clean. And so the other day, Titus helped me. So Titus is like, I don't have to clean, ha, 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 to all the other kids, you know. And sometimes we forget that the one who created put everything they had into that. They put thought into it. They put work into it. You don't just go and do something without working at it, right? God put work into you. He put thought into you. He put gifts into you. He put faith into you. He put these things into you, but yet we forget that we were created by him. So then we don't operate in the gifts and the life of salvation. And God is saying, I need you to remember these things. That you don't do it big. I created you. My favorite part, ordained us to walk it out one day at a time. Say, I'm ordained to walk it out. I'm ordained to walk it out. Isn't that nice? Oh, yeah, okay. You have to remind yourself, I've got this. He doesn't give me more than I can handle. Even though sometimes I'm like, why did you give me this? I obviously can't handle it. And he's like, yes, you can. Stop it. You know what you're doing. You're the best person for this job. Say, I'm the best person for this job. What's in your hand? Stop looking at what's not and start looking at what is. Because it's ordained to walk it out. Okay? Did you guys get something from that? It's all over. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get into just a couple quick points. And here we go. I have to take steps to live by this on a daily basis. So every day when I forget this message tomorrow morning or even tonight, because that's how we are, right? Like, pastor's not stupid. We know. Even pastor forgets their own message. Did you know that? Like, I will literally walk out of here and be like, what were my points? So if I'm doing it, I know you're doing it. So maybe some of this will click for you, okay? So if you have to walk it out every day, I want you, number one, to remember to receive your gift of salvation. You go, I've already have. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Absolutely. If you have. If you haven't, I promise you, I'm going to give you the opportunity after this service to know Jesus Christ and allow him to come into your life and be the Lord and Savior. But for those of you that have received salvation, have you really received it or do we forget it? Are we living in our salvation? It's a question I have to ask myself daily. A question I have to go, I didn't act like a good Christian today. I didn't say the right things today. And you could beat yourself up. How many of you are really good at beating yourself up like nobody else needs to, but you got your back on that one? Like, I got my back on beating myself up, right? And God's saying, knock it off. Receive your salvation. That means live in it. Dwell in it. John 1:10-13. I love this. Actually, these are my old notes. Where's Julia? She printed my old notes for me. I'm going to get on my computer real quick. Do you guys mind? See? This is what happens when my kid tells me right when we're driving, I can't breathe, Mom, and it's been happening for about a month. Okay. Hold on. Sermon update. See, update is the word that we were looking for. Okay. Because this old verse I might use too, because it's really, really good. But I found a better one this morning. Okay, John 1:10-13. You guys good with me still? Do you still love me? It says, He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Oof. He came to his own people, and they even rejected him. You go, oh my goodness, God dealt with rejection? Yes! His own people. Look at Judas, rejected God. Didn't walk out his salvation. Didn't live in it. He was rejected. So girls, how many of you can relate with rejection? Right? It's just kind of part of life. But Jesus says, I came into this world, but they didn't even recognize me. His own people didn't even, they rejected him. Verse 12, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, that's me. Is that you? He gave the right to become children of God. Hello, through grace, we are now saved. Verse 13, they are reborn not with the physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan. So when mommy and daddy had sex, that's not what he's talking about when he's talking about being reborn. He's talking about a rebirth spiritually. And it says, but the birth that comes from God in heaven. Guys, he has your back. The salvation is a free gift. It's something that you can walk out and you can be like, I'm saved. Wait, I am saved. I am on my way to heaven. I have left hell behind. Wait, I'm saved. Sickness wants to come upon me and my family. Hold on. Stop it. Nope. God's word says that he has all these gifts for his children. He's the healer. In the name of Jesus, you're healed by the stripes on the cross. You see, it starts to switch over your thinking like, oh, I'm saved. And I didn't have to do nothing for it because he loved me so much. That is to receive your gift. Girls, receive your gift daily, because sometimes I feel like we forget it's our gift and we don't say thank you. The power of God is always working on our behalf, always. I found this really cute story. You ready for a story? Years ago, I gave my young daughter, Amanda, a little jewelry box with a tiny ballerina that danced when the lid opened. I put a small piece of jewelry that she had been requesting for a long time inside of the box. When she opened the gift and she saw the jewelry box, she squealed and remarked on every detail. Oh, Mommy, this is so beautiful. This is the prettiest box I have ever seen. Eager for her to see all that I had for her, I said, Amanda, open it up. She opened up the box and she saw the ballerina twirling with the delicate music playing. Oh, the dancer is so pretty, she explained, and was about to put the box down and away. And I said, Amanda, do you see there's something else there? She discovered a tiny drawer and she pulled it out carefully. The pearl earrings I wanted. Oh, thank you, Mommy, she exclaimed as she ran off to put them on. I sat there thinking, she would have been happy with just the pretty box. She would have been happy with a frozen waffle. Imagine someone giving you a present. You say, thank you so much for the gift. That paper is so beautiful. The bow is breathtaking, and I will cherish it forever. Then you put the gift on the table, and you let it sit there unopened. How sad the giver would be after spending time and effort and resource to give it to you. You see, that's what God did for you. He gave you the gift of salvation. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He thought of you, and he said, I need them. I need them to be on this earth for this time. I need them to fulfill a purpose and a call. You're so precious to him. Today, receive your gift of salvation. And don't just be okay with a frozen waffle or just the box with the ballerina. But let's open our gift up and let's make it something so amazing that we are so grateful for. I'm grateful for my salvation today. Saved means, I love this, this is what your gift is for. Saved is sozo in the Greek, and it means deliverance from danger. That means your salvation is to deliver you from danger. And listen to this, suffering. You go, well, gosh, I have been suffering since I become a Christian. You're going to. But guess what? In your suffering, you have tools, and you have power, and you have strength to overcome. Those that are suffering in this world do not, and that do not have God, have none of those things. So God says, I've given you salvation for these things, for spiritual and eternal salvation is granted by God. God's power to deliver you from sin. Can you deliver yourself from sin? No, man. I'm so grateful that I don't have to hear all your sins. Please do not come to me afterwards and tell me everything. I don't need to know. Talk to him about it. I mean, I have this family member, not our side, the other side, and I go to their house. They would actually laugh if they heard this story because it's not them, it's their family. So anyways, extended family of family, okay? And every time I go to one of their parties, this person beelines me and tells me all their sins. And it's like, what? Do I have like a poster on my head? Like, no. And I just say, stop. I don't want to know. Talk to God about it. He's the forgiver. He loves you. He saved you from these things. Like, I have to go, please, you know, like, I'm here to have a party too. Deliverance of believers in the second coming. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I get to go home soon. That's what salvation is for. And salvation is to rescue us. Isn't that cool? Guys, our salvation is something we need to take a hold of every day because it's so easy to forget what we carry in it every day. Number two, be the real you in your salvation. You go, what does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean first. It doesn't mean the clique you want to be a part of. Maybe the brand of clothes you identify yourself with. I know these sound like very stupid and generic, but people really live this way. You know, bros, that's a certain type of person. You know, I don't even know if they have chola or cholitas anymore. I don't even know. But gangsters. I mean, these are people groups, right? We can then segregate ourselves. Well, I'm black. Well, I'm white. Well, I'm Mexican. We only hang out with that. What? Look around. You hang out with everybody in the body of Christ because God doesn't look at that. God says, that is beautiful to me, and mix it together, girls, because then the flavor is better. Right? Don't identify yourself with the things you're comfortable identifying with. And that's going to take a little bit of self-denying because you naturally cling to those things, right? I naturally can make jokes about how white people kick their family members out when they're old and we don't take care of them. Some of you are like, what? But seriously, Hispanic families, do you do that? No. I don't see homeless Hispanic people on the street. But white people, we're like, dude, get your crap together, you're out. And they're all laughing because it's true. I can say it because I'm white. And I'm not saying it's right, okay? I'm not saying it's right. But we can identify with how we do things, right? Like, oh, man, I'm Italian. I love to eat spaghetti on you know, or on the, like, right? This is not who you are, though. This is a character of yourself. This is a part of who you are. But ultimately, can I tell you who you really are? You really are a saved daughter of the Most High God. And it doesn't matter what is on the outside, not even what's on the inside, because he's going to work on that. Because the real you in salvation is beautiful. The real you in salvation finds joy in those really hard circumstances. The real you in salvation doesn't separate yourself, but actually begins to step back into the call and the walk of what God has for you. See, girls, we forget who we are. All of us do it. You say, I'm fat today. Oh, I'm fat. No, that's not who you are. You're not fat. Oh, I'm too skinny, I'm too skinny. Those girls, this is the same problem on the other end. You got the anorexia, you've got all the, all of it is things that we identify with. All of it. And God is saying, stop identifying with the things of this world. Those things that are fleeting. Your hair will fall out one day and you may not have it. Oh, well, what are you going to do then? Right? Like, I'm flat, I'm big-chested, I got a big butt, I don't have a butt. I don't know what your issue is. We all got issues. Last Thursday, you heard about my dimples. So, I mean, reality is this is who we are, right? In the flesh. But who are you in the spirit? You are saved, you are redeemed, you are workmanship, you are a masterpiece. You are designed by the Almighty. What? I forgot. How many of you can say, I just forgot, I forgot. I woke up this morning and I totally criticized the artist when I looked in the mirror. Right? When I looked in the mirror, I was like, oh, this ain't right, this ain't right. This is falling down. And the creator, he's like, seriously? You're so messed up. I made you. So I want you to turn to the girl next to you and say, you're a beautiful masterpiece. There you go. This is who you really are, okay? I love it. I love it. I love what God's word does. It changes our perspective, doesn't it? So good. Okay, I'm going to read you something that rocked my world, and it's out of Ephesians. And it was just a little like blurb on the side, and it was talking about our spiritual response to human worth and to my destiny. Ready? The Creator, the God that created man, enabled to respond to him. Man becomes a responsible being. He is a different sort of being, endowed with the ability and the freedom to fellowship and participate in the life of God. That's who you are. You get to fellowship and participate in heaven issues, kingdom principles, supernatural ways. That's who you are. I love that. That this is not the freedom of an individual anatomy, which denies dependence on God. Nor is it the freedom behind the fall of man, as in the case of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were given freedom to respond to God following their disobedience, but instead attempted to hide from him. Sin is the disobedience that will sever man's fellowship with God. Ooh, scary place to be, right? Sometime, maybe some of you are sitting here and going, I'm just not hearing much from God. Go back and ask him, Lord, have I sinned against you? And he may bring some things up. Every time I do that, I probably do it weekly. No, actually, I think I probably do it daily. And he's like, yes, you have this feeling towards this person. And if you don't deal with it, it'll become a root of bitterness. He'll separate you and me. Okay. So then I pray and I have to let it go, right? Or he'll tell me, you need to go and handle this. You're avoiding this. I don't want to. But see, the real me doesn't listen to me. The real me says, all right, God, all right, I'll deal with it. I'm going to work it out because you asked me to. You see, that is fellowship with your Creator. That's what we have the blessing of. Sin confuses. How many of you have been confused before? And it distorts. Oh, yeah, I've lived there. Our humanity and abstracts the emergence of true personhood by interrupting our fellowship with God. You're like, oh, that's what's been going on. You see, but the real you doesn't have to live there anymore. You don't have to live distorted. You don't have to live confused. You don't have to live distracted, is my point. Because the real us doesn't. I love this. And it says, but when the power of sin is broken through salvation, which was given to us through grace, and we didn't have to do anything for it, girls. Love that. That grace is revealed and the true order of humanity is restored. It is the crucified humanity of Jesus that we find true humanity intended in creation. Christ came to humanity in order for us all to be in full communion with God. That is who you are. That is who you are. Spirit-filled Bible, if you want to know where that's coming from. It's just a side note, but I just thought it so eloquently talked about it, I couldn't repeat it that beautifully. That's who you are. Psalms 139:14. Thank you for making me. Ooh, do you ever say this to God? I don't. Do you guys? We need to get better at this, okay? Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Some of you have been going, I didn't have a word for myself, but complex is a good one. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Wait a second. That sounds like a really confident person that likes themselves. Like, I believe men would say this. But I don't know how well women really say this. What is that, right? Like, yeah, men knew who they were. They're good. Like, my boys have a mirror in their bathroom, and I'm not kidding. I'm always like, what are you guys doing in there? And they're like, naked, like. And I'm just like, really? This is why we're late for church. And then there's Chloe. Mom, I just don't even know. Is my hair too frizzy today? And it's like exhausting trying to encourage her to just get out the door. Women are just so different. But yet I think we can get better at this, girls. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. The world calls it crazy, but we just say we're complex. I can cry and laugh at the same time. I can have many deep thoughts and then move on. Right? Your workmanship is marvelous. Oh, God, I'm marvelous. Say, I'm marvelous. how well I know it. That's a confidence that I want to one day get to. I'm not there, girl, so I'm preaching to myself. But I believe that that's the true us. That's who God needs us to be. That's who God wants us to be. That's what our salvation gave us, the gift of being the true us. Number three, we need to walk out our salvation on a daily basis. Sometimes walking it out is like, I'm going to give it up. Because giving it up seems a lot easier. It's a little exhausting, Pastor Jess. You don't understand how many times I've forgiven this person in my life. And I have to live with them. And God says, well, you know how many times I have to forgive you every day, all the time? My grace is sufficient. You see, God doesn't give you something you can't walk out. And walking out our salvation is a process. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 in the New Living Translation, I love this version, says, dear friends, you've always followed my instruction. This is Paul talking. Now, Paul, remember Paul's life. Snake bitten, shipwrecked, imprisoned. Come on, guys, beheaded. I mean, good Lord, this man has been through the ringer, okay? And here's Paul talking to the Philippian church. He says, dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see, all we do in our salvation, in our life to walk it out, is to be pleasing to our Father. We said this in the very beginning of the day. To be pleasing to our Father. Walk it out, girls. You've got this. If Paul can do it, you can do it. If Jesus did it, we can do it. We have salvation. We have the supernatural. We have the grace of God backing us and carrying us through. When you don't feel you can do it, it's okay. Have your down day. Cry it out. Get back up later and move on. Because you have to get up and work out, walk out your salvation on a daily basis. And let me tell you why. Because people are watching. Your life speaks. Your life speaks so loud. Your grandbabies are watching. Your children are watching. Your nieces and nephews are watching. Your mom and your aunties that don't even know God are watching. Your siblings that you've been wondering, are they ever going to serve God? They're watching your response. They're watching your actions. They're watching how you're going to walk it out. Are you going to walk it out compromised? Are you going to walk it out broken all the time? Are you going to walk it out defeated all the time? Because then what is that? That's not going to be a beautiful witness to the king. But if we're walking it out and people see us get through hard things, but we made it through and we're stronger on the other side, that's a beautiful witness of who God is in us. That's walking it out. You see, God says, walk it out. In the verse, it says that, oh, I love this. Come on. That you were ordained. You were ordained. Where is my script? See, this is why I don't like papers. Ephesians. It says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the New Living says, all good things he planned for us long ago. Girls, walk it out. Philippians 2:12, dear friends, Paul's doing this. Paul's living this. If you keep going in that scripture, Paul begins to talk about to die is gain. But I stay not for myself because he was longing to be in the constant presence of the Almighty. Think about that. To die is gain. You get to be a God all the time. No pain, no suffering, no rejection, no sorrow, no none of this stuff that this world lives in. But Paul says it, but I stay for your benefit. Guys, you're here now. You're not wasted away. Life is not over. Maybe life just needs to have a redirection. Maybe there needs to be a freshness to fall. Because your life is not, listen to me, your own. It's just not. To die is gain, but you're not dead. So you got things to do, right? So Paul is saying, come on, walk it out, girls. Say, walk it out, girl. Walk it. You can walk it out a couple different ways too. I was thinking about it the other day. I was in the office talking to the girls about this message a little bit. And we went to the beach, I don't know, a long time ago. And we were walking to these, like, what are they called? Where you find starfish and tide pools, caves. Yes, thank you. And we were walking to them, but we were on the way other side of the beach, so we had to walk all the way down. And so we were walking as a family, and I was getting really tired. Like, my calves were hurting, and I was walking in the soft sand. And so I thought, well, maybe if I move over, and I went into the harder sand, you know, where the shore meets the ocean, man, it was so much easier. I was able to just keep going. I didn't even think twice about hurting any longer. But what path are we taking? We have a little clip of what this looks like. Go ahead, guys, with the clip. Here you go. You're on hard ground, and you can run, and you can endure, right? But when you get on the soft dunes, and when you're in that soft sand, it's going to be tougher. It's going to be harder. It's going to be the wrong way, probably. And we have an opportunity in our salvation to walk this out. But I don't want to walk it out on soft, shaky ground. I want to walk it out on stable and firm ground that God has prepared for me and already ordained for me to walk this out. You see, God has prepared a way for you. He wants you to be firm. He wants you to stand strong. He wants you to be overcomers. Did you know that you are an overcomer because of the salvation that has been given to you? Girls, walk out and overcome. Walk it out. Walk it out and as a peacemaker. Walk it out as an overcomer. Walk it out as a victor. Walk it out as a mentor. Walk it out as a woman of faith. Walk it out as an ambassador. Walk it out because he did it first. Walk it out because you can. Walk it out because he paid for it. Walk it out. Girls, walk it out. You're having a bad day? Walk it off. Walk it off. Get into the word. Pray it out. You see, don't do this. This is wasting of time. Do this. You know, I have my best friend here. Robin, do you mind? You're like, oh God, what are you going to say? I promise it's not bad. Robin is going through a lot, and I'm going through a lot. But Robin and I love each other, and we don't always tell each other everything, but I don't feel bad about that because I know Robin is talking to God about it. Robin, you probably know I'm talking to God about it. And then we work it out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it was bad, but I'm good now. You know, like, because when you get with God, it's the walk-out process. And nothing I can say to her. Have you ever been in that moment with a friend where you're like, I don't know what to say. I just wish I could take it away. Right? And I know she's felt that way about me as well. But you know what? He knows what to say. And all you know is sometimes you're just there to go, it's okay. I love you. How are you today? But ultimately, your walkout moment is going to be like this. Your walkout moment is going to be like this. I surrender. Your walkout moment is going to be these moments of just breakthrough. I needed some breakthrough words from God. Or maybe that still small voice. That's your walk it out moment, girls. That's your overcome moment. And then hold on to it. Walk it out when it hurts, girls. Walk it out. Walk it out when you're rejected. Jesus did. He kept going. Judas was a person right by his side. He did. He had his money. He had his plan. Judas rejected him. But God kept going. And guess what? He finished his race. He went to that cross even though. Rejection didn't stop him. Walk it out. Walk it out. Walk it out when you're brokenhearted and it doesn't seem to make sense and you're having a hard time moving on. Walk it out. Walk it out when you don't want to get up in the morning. Yeah, those not, I don't want to get up this morning days. Sometimes those are good days to have, honestly. But when they become too many days, you need to throw them legs over that bed and it's time to start walking it out, whether you feel like it or not, right? Walk it out. Walk it out. Keep moving. Stand your ground. Take a hold of it. It's who you are in your salvation. Walk out your salvation on a daily basis. God loves you so much that he gave you the most greatest gift called salvation. Grab a hold of it by faith. because it's already yours. Did you get something from God today? Women, we're going to walk it out, right? Remember, you're marvelous. Just remember, I'm marvelous. Just tell yourself that when you don't feel marvelous, you're marvelous. Today I said that I would give you an opportunity to know who Jesus is.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.